Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus says that he will send the Holy Spirit to his church, particularly to the 11 apostles to whom he is speaking in today's gospel. The Holy Spirit is being sent to bear witness about me, he says, to bear witness about Jesus. Because Christ's person and work for us is the center and the substance of our faith. The apostles also will bear witness to Jesus because they have been with Jesus from the beginning. They are the eyewitnesses whose testimony is the foundation of the Christian church. By extension, we who have heard and received the apostles' testimony may also be called witnesses. We aren't eyewitnesses, and none of us dare claim the title apostle, nor are all of us sent in that apostolic office of the ministry. But we do all bear witness to Jesus, each of us in our own stations in life, and all together, as we do every Sunday morning, as the church together, confessing him. We bear his name, and we bear his Spirit, given to us in holy baptism. And that means that we have his name. We are Christians. Now, this is an encouraging word. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit, and he says that his duty and his whole office as the Holy Spirit is to be the comforter, to comfort us. But this gospel reading that we heard follows right on the heels of a bunch of Jesus' predictions about the suffering that Christians will face, the many crosses that his own will bear. In summary, Jesus says this: the world will hate you because it hates me, and you are with me. Remember what I said to you: a disciple is not greater than his master. And we have a taste of that in our reading today too. Jesus says they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God. Literally, that means they think they will be worshiping God by killing you. Why? Ultimately, as Jesus says, it is because they have not known the Father or me. That's Jesus. But more immediately, they will do this to you because of the Spirit of truth that you've received, because of the witness that you bear. They do it in order to get you to fall away from the faith. Jesus says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Well, as far as promises from our Lord go, this one is bittersweet. It certainly came true for the apostles. They were put out of the synagogues and out of the temple. They were killed in the name of Roman civil religion. They were hated as enemies of the human race because they bore the name of Jesus. They were martyred. It means that they died witnessing to Jesus. They faced all of these crosses not primarily by virtue of their office as apostles, but because they, like you and like me, they were not above their master, Jesus. They were privileged to share in his sufferings, as St. Peter says. They were with Jesus, as each of us also are. And so we can expect the same thing. Christians are even now being put out of house and church. We are daily being urged to violate God's word and our conscience, often in the name of American civil religion. And we are now, or we will be soon, labeled enemies of the human race. Because we insist that today's Jesus must be the same Jesus. The same Jesus that Gabriel proclaimed. His name shall be called Jesus because he saves people from their sins. We stick with Jesus. We stick with his words and with his promises because they are eternal life. We are with him. But Jesus ends today's gospel with a slightly different emphasis. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. What matters is not so much that we are with Jesus, but that Jesus is with us. There are many times when, honestly, we really aren't with him at all. Our constancy and our loyalty is questionable. We are very much like the children of Israel in our Old Testament reading. The Lord says that they should have been bearing his name to the nations, and instead they are out profaning his name. And the Lord is going to vindicate that name with or without them, not for their sake, but for his sake. And in this we are also like the disciples today. The Lord said all of these things to keep them from falling away on the very same night when he was betrayed, when all of them did fall away, and when one of them also denied him. But the Lord switches it around. It's not that you are with me, but that I am with you. That is what is certain. That is what can give you confidence. The Lord says, I am faithful. You will be my people because I am your God. I am your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? The apostles, unlike us, were with him from the beginning. They saw Jesus. They walked and they talked with him. And when they doubted, God walked over and literally put his hand on their shoulder. Now we wish we had that, don't we? They, it seems, should have it all. But these are the ones who fell away that night. Many times in the gospel, we see that the disciples blunder. They sin. They are faithless. And on occasion, they get called Satan by that very same God who in our flesh can walk over and lay his hand right on our shoulder. What mattered wasn't that they were with Jesus. What mattered was that Jesus was with them. He was for them. He was their God. That was as certain as bedrock. That was something that even Peter, who denied his Lord rather than face embarrassment or pain or martyrdom, that was something to which even Peter could return and find mercy. Christ was so for them that they had no concern, no need, no real danger at all at any moment. And Jesus is calling them to remember this at the end of today's gospel. Hey, I never told you before about all of these tribulations that you're going to face. Because I was with you. What did you lack? I am for you. I am still with you. What is there to fear? And now, Jesus was ascending, not just to the cross, but also to the right hand of his Father's majesty. And he would still be with his apostles, and they with him, always to the end of the age, Jesus says, but no longer by sight. So he reminded them that when Jesus is with you, there is nothing to fear. His promises are certain. He remains faithful to them. There is no worry. You don't even need to know or to fully understand your sufferings or what their particular purpose might be. The world is always talking about this. They're always blathering their shallow comfort that everything happens for a reason. Well, great. But what kind of reason is it? And the real question is, what about God, who is surely behind that reason, whatever it may be? Is God for you, or is he against you? And the answer in Jesus is for you. Christ suffered first for you, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us for those apostles. And it is really no different now, after he was crucified, after he rose, and after his ascension, which we in the church celebrated on Thursday. He speaks now his word to us, in which his Holy Spirit that he promised then is at work to comfort. He is forgiving us. He is comforting us. And Jesus is bodily present for us now, as God and man, without a doubt, in his Holy Supper. And he has told us that we will face trouble. He's told us, both for our benefit, but also so that we won't fall away in the face of it. This is the sort of full knowledge that a Christian has. We know the danger, we know the crosses that we're going to face, that we are not above our Master. But we also know, at the same time, the safety that we have, that our Master is with us. Jesus is with you. He is for you. Monica, he is with you. And he is for you. For he has buried you with himself through baptism into his death, that you may live confidently in him. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit of the Father poured out on you richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, he has declared himself to be undeniably for you. And in that confidence today, we take up a new song. Take up the childlike theme of Psalm 27 and St. Paul's glorious 8th chapter of Romans set to music in today's hymn. If God himself is for you, who can be against you? Christ has befriended you. His ascension doesn't keep him from you at all, for now he fills all things as God and man. He is now Emmanuel, God with us. His blood cleanses you from all sin. That is your certainty. And the fleeting values of this world be nothing. It's the gifts that Christ gives us from his cross by virtue of holy baptism, by his Spirit, by his promise. Those are all you need. Jesus is with you and he is for you. And the reason that he is with you is not to destroy you as he might for your inborn heart of stone, but it is to cancel your offenses, to show mercy, to cleanse your soul from sin through faith. What a marvelous phrase. And with a soul confident before God's judgment, a soul that is washed, that is absolved, covered, acquitted, atoned by God's own blood, you can be cheerful. Who is there to condemn? Christ is the judge, and he has befriended you. He shields you with his grace, gives you his Spirit to convince you of righteousness that is in him by witnessing about Christ your Savior and your certain hope. Monica, you are in the care of your Master Jesus. He has swindled you from the devil's kingdom and claimed you as his own. And thus you can say in the boldness of faith that you are with him also. You are his disciple. You are a Christian now. And that means you will face what Christ says in John 15. The burden of mockery, shame and losses, 1,000 plagues and crosses will be your daily bread. Satan has no power over Christ. He's risen and he is ascended. He is the Lord with all things under subjection to him. But Satan will throw everything that he can at you instead. This is not hidden from us, God's precious saints, because Jesus has told us. But he has told us that we may not fall away, for he is with us. Today is only the beginning, but the promise that he gives in holy baptism never fades or wavers. What then can separate you from the love of God in Christ? No danger, thirst, or hunger, no pain or poverty, no earthly tyrant's anger, no fire or sword or thunder, no angel and no gladness, no throne, no pomp, no show, no love, no hate, no sadness, no pain or depth of woe, no scheming, no contrivance, no subtle thing or great shall draw you from his guidance, nor from him separate. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.